But I want to speak to you about overcoming anything. Say anything. You know, anything means what? Anything. All right, so we know that there's stuff happening in life, and you know, yeah, sometimes anything is quite hard to overcome, but I believe we can literally overcome anything. And I hope you believe this, because this will shape where you're going, what's happening, etc. in your life, so that you can be victorious. So now, since the PowerPoint's not there, don't you want to go to Jeremiah 2? All right, but Jeremiah 2, verse 12 and 13, there should be a 13 there, I see. But in any case, it says this. And this is a powerful statement by God. This is almost one of those moments where it feels like, you know, God just flexes his muscles. But he gives a very strong word here. He says, "Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, declares the Lord." That is a strong statement. That is a powerful statement. It says, listen what it says in verse 13. "For my people have committed two evils." Now, who's his people? This is us. It was the Israelites here. But this pertains to us. He says, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Now, this is not the cistern behind your toilet. Okay, let me just clarify this. They did not have a flushing version in the desert. Or there might be a slave that, you know, had to carry that thing around. But that's not the cistern that he's speaking about here. When he speaks about a cistern, it's a well that they had to dig to get water. All right, that's what they call a cistern. It's a basin. It's where water was held. So they had to dig these things. And you would recall that Abraham and these guys, they dug wells everywhere. Okay, it is well with our soul. And that's about as close as we get to digging wells. Amen. So, but God speaks this amazing word, this very powerful statement, where he says his people has committed two sins. Firstly, they have departed from him, the fountain of living water, the fountain of life. Was it living waters? I thought it said living. Now, in my little brain, if you have found the fountain of living water, it is a good place to camp. If I was there with my little camping equipment, I would be there. Pitch my tent right there and stay there. Why? Because it's the fountain of living water. But instead of camping there, instead of staying with God, what did they do? Decided, Nias Alsrech, we'll dig our own stuff. We'll go and we dig some wells. Okay, we moet teruggaan van die vorige ene. Ah, that's better, nah. It's a bit better as die swart, nah. Yeah, that's a nice slide. Yes, that is me when I had hair. I wish. Yeah, some way. Yes, we can go there. But in any case, let's move right on. Okay, so God really strongly speaks to his people here. And he says, listen guys, you have forsaken me. Now, I don't think it's a good day when God comes to you and he says, you have forsaken me. Because if there's anything that needs to change in your heart in that moment, is a desperateness for God in that moment to seek him with all your heart. Now, if we go to Jeremiah 17:13, he says, "Oh Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame." So this is a result. What happens if you forsake God, if you walk away from the fountain of living water, this will happen to you. You will be put to shame. "Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth." Now that means to die. Okay, when you're written in the earth, you become dust, right? "For they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living." Now, Jeremiah, when he writes this, the word that he uses here for fountain is not a natural spring. It's not, you know, like, I don't know if you've visited places, but there's a natural spring and the water kind of just bubbles up out of the earth and it's easy. That's not what he's saying. The word that he uses here, he specifically uses the word that says to dig and maintain. So in other words, it's that sense of, you know, you're coming to God, you pursuing him, you consistently pressing in, you maintaining this fountain, you You know, you're digging this fountain. You want to be in the presence of God. That's what they needed to do. And they did not do this. They were looking for the easy way. Can it just bubble up out of the earth? You know, this is come on, guys. This is way easier than digging a well. Who if you've dug a well? Who if you've dug anything? I've got a few trees to plant. You can all my to come. But they weren't willing to dig these well. They forsook. Yes, the English can interessant rock. In any case, they walked away from God. I say, this is makkelijker. They left the building. In any case, and God is saying, no, I want to invite you in. I want you to come closer, come dig, come get into my presence, you know. Come spend time with a fountain of living water. So even if we look at Scripture, we see a lot of times how water actually plays a big role in Scripture. So I want to just from that flow into John 4 verse 10, which is Jesus coming to the well and the lady which comes to draw water. And Jesus says this to her. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, who is that saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would ask him, and he would have given you living water." Genade. It's less maar moeilijk voor ogen. But in any case, he would have given her living water. Now, what God was saying in Jeremiah was actually being fulfilled here through Jesus Christ. This well of living water became flesh. And therefore, she is standing here speaking to Jesus, and he's saying, "Man, if you only knew who you are speaking to, then you would say, 'Give me this water.'" Because then he says in verse 13, Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. I know, I've tried. I've tested the water in my tap, and I do become thirsty again. In any case, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will what? Never thirst again." That to me is such a powerful statement. So in other words, if I can just pause there, if you drink from the right well, you're never going to get thirsty again. So I guess it begs the question, what well are you drinking from? Okay. "The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Now, this is the amazing thing. If you drink from the right well, if you drink from this well, the well of living water, it will not just quench your thirst. It will become a fountain within you. It will start bubbling up. It will start bearing fruit in a sense. It will start touching people's lives. So in other words, if I look at this, if we are drinking from the right well, there should be an effect in this earth. People's lives, those around you, should be able to look at you and go, "Hey, Jette Jong, you know, you got some lekker water there." And you can allow them to drink. And you can rather introduce them to the fountain of living water. Now, my title is Overcoming Anything. So we know and we are aware in this life that there's many stuff that goes on. I mean, you just have to live in South Africa at the moment to be aware of very interesting things that are happening in our country. But I think I want to ask the question, you know, how can we truly live this life that is overcoming everything? How can we have an actual victorious life? How can we truly rule and reign in life? How can we do this? And the answer I discovered lies with a river. Now, let me quickly tell you about a river. This is the Nile River. It's a very big river. This is the longest river in the earth. The Amazon is doing a good contest there, apparently, but it's coming in a nice second. This river is 6,758 kilometers long. Now, that is not a stream. It's a river. Now, there's a difference between a stream and a river. A stream is something you can jump over. Okay, if it's a river, it's kind of bigger, and you're going to get messed up. You know, maybe there's places you can walk through and so on, but this thing is serious. This is flowing. Now, how long has this river been flowing? How long has the Nile been flowing? Any guesses? Since after the flood. Okay, because that's when everything changed. So from the flood, the Nile has been flowing. Why? Why has the Nile been flowing? Jy moet stadig bil. Jy moet bly by my bly, moenie my vooruit gaan nie. Jy gee my secrets weg. I'll say it's a rewind. I like it. In any case. Okay, so the Nile has a source. And the source is believed to be Lake Victoria. Okay? Which is quite a big place, apparently. I've never been there. But it's not the kind of place that you just swim through in one day. But the thing is with Lake Victoria, even though it's being considered as the source of the Nile, even that lake has rivers that feeds it. And the first river is that is namely Kagera River, the Kagera River, which flows into it near Bakoba in Tanzania. Now, grace to the names, please. And then there's two other rivers. That's also the biggest river that feeds Lake Victoria. And then you have the River Ronza River and then Morono River. All right, just yes, he means. But these are the rivers that flows into the lake, which flows into the Nile, which goes 6,758 kilometers because of the source of this river. It can flow. Now what happens is this river sustains life for 6,758 kilometers. What we need to understand about a river is that a river will go where the source will never go. The source is stationary, but the river flows. And it starts traveling and it goes through stuff. Incredible. Now, I've worked with water. I'm a plumber by trade. And I know water has got no respect for anything or anybody. You mess with water, especially in huge quantities, you will lose. Quick story is, I stood in a trench one day. We were putting in a big pipe about that size, putting in this pipe. And I'm just started at the town council, and I was still very stupid. Any case, so they said open the water. Now, I mean, the pipes are there. Everything is connected. So I'm not bothered. So I'm standing actually in the trench. And my foreman saw this happening. And he's like, hey, stupid, get out of the trench. And I'm like, but why? You know, everything is ready. And he's like screaming at me. I'm thinking, okay, maybe I should get out of this trench. And in the meantime, they've opened this water. So this water now has come charging down these pipes. So as I climbed out of the trench, the pipe kicked. In other words, it pushes the fittings out. And it caught my leg between the pipe and the volley key. I cannot tell you how strong I became in that moment. Because I suddenly realized why my foreman was so upset. Because he knew, probably from experience, that these things will happen. And I tell you, I started pulling on my leg. I didn't care what happens, but I'm not staying in this trench with this pipe. Because what happens now, obviously it's kicked, so it's not backing off. The pressure is there, so it pushes your leg against this wall. And I tell you, Hulk came loose at that moment, and I was like, get a help. And I got my leg out. But having worked with water, I know that water is a powerful thing. Now, you would have seen on TV, you know, rivers that flow, you know, where there's heavy rains and so on. What happens? Comes down, and there's chaos. Because there are rivers that flow, but their sources aren't consistent. They have water coming down like a Wolkbreek, and then you have water coming in and they just cause chaos. Or you can have rivers, let's say like a dam that breaks and, you know, that water comes free and it causes a lot of chaos. And I think sometimes in our lives, we are like that with God. That we get into His presence, we get into this source, this powerful God that we serve, and instead of staying there, we go out and we cause chaos. Not all in the name of Jesus. But the thing is, when we are connected to the source, when a river is connected to the source, remember, the source cannot go anywhere, the river will. So if the river, as long as the river is connected to a stable source, what happens? It becomes the River Nile. It becomes something that will sustain, that will bring life to people and places around it consistently. So let us not be flash floods. We need to be connected to the river, to the source. Now, in John 7:37-38, Jesus says this. He says, On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And the Amplified puts it this way, just verse 38, he says, "He who believes in me, who cleaves to, trusts in, relies on me," Liffy, this is for you, the Amplified, not for you, okay, "as Scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs of living water." Now, if you do not have rivers flowing continuously from you, I would say then you are not connected to the source. And he says, "He who believes in me, who cleaves to, trusts in, and relies on me." In other words, there's a consistency in being with Jesus. Now, in order for the rivers to flow, Jesus says there's two things: he who thirsts and he who believes in me. Because you're only going to drink water when you're thirsty. Right? So you need to be thirsty to be able to drink. So Jesus says, listen, if you are thirsty, come and drink. But then he says, he who believes in me. Faith in Christ is of the utmost importance. John 20:29, it says, Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen?" Speaking to Thomas, he says, "But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Who of you have seen the source of the River Nile? The feeder river. I'm not talking about Lake Victoria. Who of you have been to these feeder rivers? Nobody. Yet they are there. Yet we can see the effect of those feeder rivers on this earth. And they are consistently flowing. They are consistently producing water, which will consistently bring life. So that river is actually only flowing because it is connected to the source. Now, and for us, the source we obviously understand is Jesus Christ. He is the source of this. But in verse 39 of chapter 7 in John, he says this, referring to, he's now said, you know, you must come to him. And he says, now this, speaking of the rivers that will flow from you, he said about the Spirit, who those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So do you see, if you believe in Christ, if you are thirsty, and you come to him when you drink, these rivers will start flowing. And he was speaking about the Holy Spirit. So in other words, when you have this walk with God, the rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit will start flowing through your life in abundant measure. And the more time you spend with the source, the more these rivers will flow, because the Holy Spirit will produce life in you, and this life will start flowing out to those around you. So if you are not connected to the source, if you do not believe in the source, there will be no rivers. If you don't spend time drinking from the source, there will be nothing that flows out of you. And for a day such as today, for a place where we live today, we need these rivers to start flowing. We need to see the Spirit of God moving on each one of us in greater measure like never before. But it means that we need to be at the source. Now, what will these rivers look like? What are these rivers that the Holy Spirit will produce in you? Now, I've just listed a couple, but the first one is Christ-likeness. The Holy Spirit teaching us and dwelling in us. It's the first thing that He'll produce in you. You will start looking like Christ. You will start looking like Him. Can't say that. Any different. You will start being holy as He is holy. You will have this unquenchable thirst after God and a hunger after Him. You will have boldness. Remember Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they received boldness to preach the gospel. You will have boldness to preach the gospel in the weirdest places because the Spirit of God is upon you. You will bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is Galatians 5:20, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You can go read that. That's sermons in their own. We can do sermons about all them. But that's what the Holy Spirit will produce in you. This is the rivers of living water. Then the gifts of the Holy Spirit will start flowing out of your life. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, working of powers, prophecy, discerning of spirits, all kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Now my prayer is, because many of these things we don't necessarily see in our lives at the moment, but my prayer is, can we press into this fountain? Can we press into the fountain of living water so that the Holy Spirit can so flow in our lives that these things will be produced in our lives continually? Because I can tell you this much, I believe the earth needs that right now. Where you work, where God has placed you, that place needs this to happen in your life desperately. And it will only happen as long as you are connected to the source. You see, the way that you are connected with the Holy Spirit will affect what happens in your life directly. Like I said, the more you're in the source, the more these things fall. But what happened? What are things that can hinder this? What are things that can hinder this? The first one, as you met me, is your faith in Christ is affected by many things. The first one is disappointment. The disappointments towards God, where you've trusted Him. You've trusted Him for big things in your life, and it didn't happen the way that you wanted it to happen, or it didn't happen. That will affect your faith. That will affect you. Just that one little thing there will affect you in a way that you're not going back to the source. Why? Because you now don't believe in Jesus anymore. You don't believe in the source anymore. So you are backing off. Blaming Him for something. Something that has happened in your life. Unplanned. Loss of someone. I don't know. What has happened in your life? Business deal that went pear-shaped, or whatever. You're blaming Him for this. That will affect your faith. Focusing on the obstacle rather than the greatness of God. Now, the thing is, when a river flows and it gets to an obstacle, what happens? The thing is, if it's not connected to the source, it will get to the obstacle and die. But if there's a continual flow from the Holy Spirit, from the source that keeps it, what happens? The river becomes greater and greater and greater, and eventually it pushes the obstacle out of the way. Or it just overcomes it. What obstacle? Let's just flow over it. Then, unforgiveness. Eish, that's an ugly thing. That thing will hinder the flow of God in your life. And the things that I think, you know, I think unforgiveness can shift down, that will really just cut you off from the source, is fear, unbelief, doubt, wrong identity, double-mindedness. And you can go and search scripture on what else will cut you off from the source. Scripture says, a double-minded man should not think that he can get anything from God. Not anything. How many times are we double-minded? How many times do we, like, The thing is, we need to be connected to the source. The thing is, you cannot, I'm saying that your thing is quite a lot now. Stop it. You cannot curse the source in your life and expect it still to bless you. You cannot curse the source and see that life still coming. You cannot walk away from the source and think that the river must continue to flow. You know, sometimes the grace of God is so amazing in His love towards us that even despite the fact that we do that, He still feeds you, which freaks me out. It's amazing how God loves us. And then this is my quote. Next. Nogien. Let the force of the source enable the rivers in your life to overcome the obstacles before you. The reason why I say that, the force of the source, is Star Wars. Not that force. Let the right force be with you. Okay. But when that fountain of living water, He just keeps producing fountain of living water. This living water will just keep flowing. And if I'm connected to Him, that will create this force behind it, this heaviness that will overcome the obstacles that are in front of me. That will press through it, that will break through it. So you want to know how your life can overcome anything? Don't disconnect from the source at all. In 1 John 4 verse 4, it says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. But you see, if you are not connected to the source, you are not connected to the right place. Therefore, you cannot overcome. Because he's only greater. You can... Gaan terug. Greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. So if he is in you, you will do greater things. You can overcome the things that are in the world. Now, this is a simple message. Something that I'm sure you guys know. But it is scary how quickly we detach from the source in our lives. It is scary when tough times come or things start pressing in, how we actually withdraw from the source and we actually start digging our own cisterns. And we want to say, God, but don't worry, I've got this. You know, I've got this. This one will work. This one will work. This one will work. The fact of the matter is, you want the force of the source, that continual river flowing to get in behind you, to get through you, start pressing in through you, so that things in your life will just be broken. That you can overcome anything. So what do we take home from today? How do we go away from here? I don't know where you are today, what's happening in your life. Maybe you're standing there trying to keep up this massive boulder from crushing your life. What is the thing that is in your life that's trying to press you down at the moment? What are the things that are maybe trying to get you out of this country? Let's get real. Maybe God is just calling you to be here, to allow those rivers to flow through your life so that society can be transformed and changed. So what can you do? What do we do? What do we take home? Do not forsake the fountain of living water. That is a choice that you make. Walking away from the fountain of living water is a choice that you make. either willingly or because of stuff that is happening in your life. But you need to stay connected to the source. Don't dig your own cistern. We are professional plan makers. And God has graced us in a way that we are creative and we can make plans. But I tell you one thing that I've learned in my life, and I'm sure some of you have too. As long as you are connected to the source, the fountain of living water, these plans sometimes looks way different than what you thought they would. And God gives you creativity to allow you to get ahead. Okay, so don't dig your own cistern. It won't hold water. It's what the scripture says there. That cistern is not going to hold anything. There's no life in it. Nothing will come from it. Recognize Jesus as the fountain. And ask him for a drink, as the lady of the well did. If you are not thirsty for God, eat salt. Get into the word. Let the word become salt in your life. Let it stir up a thirst in you to become thirsty. If you are not thirsty, then be between the people that are drinking from the river of living water, so that their life, them walking, them drinking from the fountain of living water will inspire you, will cause you to become thirsty, will cause you to seek him more and more and more, so that as you are connected to the source, the rivers can flow. Then do not allow anything from restricting the flow from the source in your life. What are the things that you need to deal with? What are the stuff that we need to get rid of? What are the things that are actually cutting the source off in your life? Maybe you know someone that is really going through a difficult time. The answer for them is Jesus. The answer for them is the fountain of living water. Maybe they've served God. Maybe they're not serving him anymore. They've walked away from the source, the fountain of living water. Please reintroduce them. Let the fountain of living water flow, and then allow the Holy Spirit to flow through your life in greater measure as you drink from the fountain of life, Jesus Christ. That is what we want to do. You want to live a life that can overcome anything? I just want to tell you today, it's got nothing to do with you. Nothing. You want to live a life that can overcome anything? It's abandoning yourself and getting into the source, connecting with a fountain of living water and letting that water start flowing through you. And that is the only way that we can overcome anything. I mean, James has to write that scripture that says, count it all joy when all kinds of trials come your way. So we know these things are going to come. I've been on this earth longer than some, shorter than others. Donkey toch. But I've learned this, that stuff happens. Life happens. Stupid stuff happens to good people. But I've also learned that once you've endured, once you've walked through that thing, once you've stayed connected to the fountain of living water, the way that you come out on the other side looks way different than when you went in to that trial. I am only the man that I am today because of the trials in my life. And obviously an awesome God that took me through them. But through every one of those trials, he came into my life and he shaped and molded me. And even through that, there's more of his presence in my life that now is. And I'm designing more. I'm not designing necessarily more trials. Although James say, gooi a party. Trial is coming. When you see it coming, he says, throw a party. Trial is coming. Huh? Yes. I want to meet James someday. I want to lovingly slap him. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. So, where are you today? And how are you connected to the fountain of living water? What does your connection look like today? And what are you going to do about it? Let's stand.